peace be unto you, my friends and my family. Right, these are the first words that Jesus said to his disciples after his resurrection in the Gospel of John and Luke. I think peace before today our theme, right, is go make disciples. But interesting that when Jesus turned up, it's not immediately say, why are you still waiting here? Why are you still sitting here? But rather, Jesus first gave them peace, right? Peace of the heart. So before we go into this journey today, I'd like to invite all of us online and on site, let us greet and wish one another peace. Right? Invite you to turn to people around you, all right? Online, on site, everywhere. Peace. Right? Peace. And then if any of you, like, you know, for me, I was walking here, right? It was a sticky weather. I was like, the wind blowing, I could feel like it's sticking onto my skin sometimes, and I can feel like, you know, like I'm not grounded. If any of you feel discomfort, I'd like to take a few moments, right, just to breathe, to bring yourself back into your body, right? And if there's any discomfort that you're feeling, or anywhere there's tension in your body, I invite you to say to yourself, the uncomfortable parts, the tension in your body, peace unto you. The Lord's peace be with you. As we go to this journey, let's prepare our hearts to encounter the love of God. Let's rise in body and in spirit to respond to the call to worship. Come, walk in green pastures.
We follow the shepherd.
Come, lying down in green pastures.
We trust the shepherd.
Come, dine at the table of abundance.
We are fed by the shepherd.
Come, dwell in God's house.
We live in the shepherd's care.
Loving shepherd, you know our names. You care for us. When we face darkness and death, walk beside us. When we hunger for your love, fill us with your presence. When we are fearful, feed us at your table.
May we dwell in a house of goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. Amen.
Now I hand the time over to our worship team. Let's join together with our worship team with one voice and one heart in worship.
Is my reward and all of my devotion. Now there's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy. Through every trial, my soul will sing, no turning back. Set free. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Christ, my all. Joy in my salvation, and this hope will never fail. Heaven is our home. Through every storm, my soul will sing, Jesus is have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back.
Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need,
I got this time. A thousand times I fail, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out of my soul. Cries out. My heart and my soul, I give you control. consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours. You are in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where fleet may fear and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't start now. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours. You sing, Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you will call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Please be seated.
We offer now our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. Dear God, as we approach Earth Day, we praise you for your handiwork in shaping and sustaining your wondrous creation. You've put in us a desire to connect with nature, through which we often find serenity and wholeness. Grant us also the will to protect and preserve these rivers, mountains, forests, and oceans. Although the problems of climate change seem vast and overwhelming, show us how we can creatively and consciously care for the earth in whatever spheres of influence you have given us, through our work and as consumers. Motivate us to contribute to discussions and share ideas on how to better care for the earth. We especially pray for public servants and policymakers to heed scientists' warnings and devote more resources to finding solutions. We claim your love in Jesus Christ for the whole world, especially those suffering from natural disasters and violent conflicts. We remember the children who died in a school bus caught in flash floods in Jordan, and children who are becoming malnourished in Gaza, and children who have been or are in continued danger of being kidnapped and killed in Nigeria. We pray for the families who witness with despair and feel helpless. God, have mercy. In our community, we pray for those who have special needs. To all who suffer any sickness or weakness, give healing, relief, and endurance. To all who are disturbed or troubled, give rest and understanding. To all who are lonely and alienated, give fellowship and love. to all who grieve and sorrow, give comfort and assurance. To all who are aged and frail, give homes of comfort and safety, and others to help them, and a willingness to accept help. To all who are stuck in meaningless or exhausting jobs, give patience and discernment. To all who are seeking employment, give energy and serendipity. And make us those who give of ourselves so that, because of your Spirit at work in us, this world can become a better place, a more kingdom-like place, a shalom place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. My name is Gary, and I'm so glad that I'm here with all of you and that we get to go into the Word together this morning. I want to first take a moment to appreciate the wonderful service teams that make it possible for these hybrid Sunday worship service to happen each Sunday. And also, a big shout out to you, whether you're joining us for the first time, the second time, here physically in church or joining us live right now online, or maybe watching this sometime later in the week. I just want to say that we are all so grateful that you have made the time to join us to worship and receive the ministry of the Word together. We are right now in the third week of our current sermon series, simply titled Go. And throughout the last 2 weeks, we have been reflecting on the profound truth that God has found us all worthy and called to go. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Myak shared about what it means to go into all the world. And last week, Pastor Pauline shared about how we are called to go abide in God and go bear fruit that glorifies God. So today, we're going to kind of like be building on that foundation by looking at our call to go make disciples. But I do encourage you that if you have missed the last two sermons from 2 weeks ago and last week, it's available on our YouTube channel. You can watch it after the service. So if you're joining us this morning live, I would like to invite you to contribute to today's sermon using menti.com. If you have your phone or a computer with you, you can either scan the QR code that you see on the screen or enter fcc.li/menti into your browser, and that would take you to menti.com, where you can actually follow along with the slides and also for you to contribute anonymously to this sermon. Okay, everyone got it? If so, let's open our time together with a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this time we can come together as your people around the ministry of your word. God, we ask you to speak to each one of us now in the way that we need to hear it. We ask you to give us open hearts and open minds to know your heart for each one of us. And I pray that we will have a greater revelation of who you are and that the living word will come alive in our hearts today and enable us to see you more clearly and follow your example for us. We pray, God, that we will be open to your work in our lives and in the lives of your church today. And we will have a revelation of your call for us to follow you and to be your witnesses and to be your hands and feet into the world. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people say, Amen. So today, as you got your phones out, I would like to start by reflecting on two questions. The first question is this. I would like to ask you, wherever you are right now, what do you think is the mission of a Christian? And how do you understand it today? So please take a moment to think about it, and you can start contributing your thoughts on menti.com anonymously. You know, for me, my understanding of Christian mission has really changed and evolved over the many years that I've been a Christian. I grew up in a Christian home. So Christian mission for me has been embedded in my Christian experience. I went to a mission school. And when I went to church with my parents, there were always these regular updates about mission trips to different rural countries where they would be planting churches. When I was a young adult, I was taught that my mission as a Christian was to bring my friends to church so that they could have the opportunity to receive salvation. And as I grew older and became a part of this community, FCC, my understanding of mission has again evolved. But let's see now what you have contributed. First one, to follow God, love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, serving the people in need according to God's will. Be Christ-like, spreading love and hope to others. Be the light and salt of the earth. Be an example of Christ-likeness to bring God's kingdom down, to restore the earth, to sleep and rest, maybe. We'll go into that a little bit later. To serve others, especially the marginalized, to be witnesses for God, to love others how God loved us, to share God's love and message to people so that they will know God and advance His creation and kingdom in other ways also. Salvation, be Christ-like in our living. And you can see some of these themes that go on inside there. But I also hope that you can see how much diversity we have in the way that we understand Christian mission. And maybe if you're like me, your view could have changed over time as well. So as we get into the Word today, I want to spend a little bit of time first to show you how the understanding of Christian mission has not just changed for us individually over time, but also changed for the church over the arc of history since the time that the Gospels were written. You know, the audience for the original Synoptic Gospels was not actually meant for us, but they were written for the sake of the first and second generation of Christians that came after Jesus' ministry. The Gospel writers were certainly not thinking about how we will be thinking about it, how we will be receiving it and interpreting it in so many centuries after that. So if you don't mind, we're going to go do a very, very quick history lesson today. And it's going to be such an important foundation, I think, for us to understand how we got here today. So I want to start by talking about the Eastern Orthodox Church around 300 AD. So for the early Eastern Orthodox Church, they believed that Christian mission was primarily focused on carrying on the work of the disciples by spreading the teachings of Jesus, evangelizing the good news of the kingdom of God, and inducting people into this new community through baptism. And so you can see a picture of this from Acts chapter 2, 42, which says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So that was the early Eastern Orthodox Church. The focus of Christian mission shifted then in the time of the medieval Roman Catholic Church, which started around 500 AD, when Christianity was then adopted as the state religion of the Roman Empire. So Christian mission shifted from what was originally understood to membership in the church as the only way to salvation. So an anchor text that represents this can be found, for example, in Luke chapter 14, where it says, "Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full." And that's how they understood Christian mission. The next big shift really happened during the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century, when Christian mission shifted to push instead the authority of Scripture and push back against the power that the state church had and empower people to have a personal relationship with God and salvation through faith in God. And so we can see here that an anchor text that represents this era can be seen in Romans chapter 1. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." And then we move forward to the 18th century during the period of Enlightenment, where Christian mission took on an urgency to go into the world before Jesus' return to save those who are eternally lost. And so an anchor text that represents this era is Matthew 24, and it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So you can see in this very short four time periods that Christian mission and how it's understood and its focus has really evolved since the point when it was first thought about in antiquity. And so no wonder there is so much diversity in the way that we understand it, depending on the traditions that we grew up with. So with that in mind, I want to ask you a question. How integral or important is the understanding of mission in the way that you practice your faith today? So I've given you three options today to choose from. The first option is not integral. The second option is it depends. And the third, which means occasionally or optionally. And the third option is to be completely integral. And because this is totally anonymous, I hope that this will give us all a pulse of where we all are today. So we can see that completely integral is, by and large, the largest number of respondents here. But also, if we add up kind of like it depends and not integral, we get kind of the same numbers or maybe a little bit more. So let that keep coming in, and thank you for all your responses. I think even more critically than this, right, many people today see Christian mission as less and less important because it comes with so much baggage. You know, throughout history, missions has been associated with the overreach of the church. It's been associated with wars and colonialization. It's been associated with the oppression of colored people, the subjugation of women, and the exclusion of minority groups like queer people. This is not a photograph, it's generative AI art, okay? So it's completely original. Now, the focus of Christian mission has also been impacted by the secularization of modern society. You know, on one side of this scale, we can see the rise of the one side, which is reason and science, being much more important and much more trustworthy. And on the other side, the mistrust and the ineffectiveness of the church today to address societal issues, which Wendy prayed for together with us earlier. With all of this, it is no wonder that Christian mission is losing its importance, and how important, and for many people who have left the church, it's actually become a point that has just become distasteful. And actually, people have ended up rejecting and leaving Christianity altogether as a faith because of its brokenness and its ineffectiveness. So as we progress now to the times that we live in today, with all of this inherited tradition and all of this baggage that we have around Christian mission, is our understanding of mission evolving again? And I'd like to spend a little bit of time to explore some important emerging developments in this area that's important for us in our own learning and growth. The first is a development in the contemporary understanding of Missio Dei, which is the word translated from Latin for the mission of God. So essentially, what Missio Dei proposes is a better way to understand the Christian mission. And that is, the Christian mission actually firstly originates from God. And so God here, God sends Jesus and the Spirit into the world. And then Jesus and the Spirit then sends followers of them into the world. So they then send the followers of Jesus into the world, empowered by the Spirit to achieve the mission of God. And so we can see this in scripture passages such as John chapter 17 and verse 20, and the words of Jesus in his prayer saying, "I," Jesus speaking, "ask not only on behalf of these disciples, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." The Father sends us. And in verse 18, it goes on and says, "And as you, God, have sent me, Jesus, into the world, I have sent them," my disciples, "into the world." So the big distinction here is that Christian mission doesn't originate with the church, but it originates with God and is the very nature of God. In other words, Christian mission should only exist because God is a missionary God. So I think that opens up the question, if mission originates with God and is the nature of God, how do we understand what is this mission of God? And earlier, many of you shared your ideas on mentee, loving God, loving our neighbor, mercy, grace, ministering to others, salvation, bringing the good news. And yes, we can see all of these themes throughout the Bible. But if we take a step back and look at the overarching narrative of Scripture, there is one very consistent theme that all of these ideas which you have shared bubble up to. And that is the mission of restoring shalom in all areas of life. Restoring shalom in all areas of life. Now, if you have been with FCC a while, you will have explored together with all of us that the word shalom, which is often translated as the word peace, actually has a better way to be understood, which is the state of beauty, wholeness, completeness, goodness, or simply put, the way that God had intended things to be. And the core idea here is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations. And when any of these are out of alignment or is missing, then your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole and it needs to be restored. And so God's mission is to set things right in all areas of our lives and in all areas of the world to restore it to shalom, the way that God has intended it. And this applies whether it is our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with one another, or our relationship with creation. Many contemporary scholars of this movement propose that it is the church, or commonly used word ecclesia, which means Christian community, which refers to this church and essentially all churches, all of these ecclesia essentially exist to fulfill Missio Dei. So when we as a community participate in Missio Dei, we are being the instruments, witnesses, and signs of God's intended future for the world. And ultimately, fulfill God's mission in advance, you know, in restoring shalom and in the result bringing glory to God. Theologian Karl Barth says it conversely that a church that is not on mission is either not yet or no longer the church or only a dead church itself in need of renewal. An extension of this that I would say, which I put on the screen, is that a Christian who is not on mission is either not yet a Christian or no longer a Christian or only a dead Christian, themselves in need of restoration. That's a big statement, right? What does this mean? If Christian mission is so integral to being a Christian, does that mean I'm going to lose my salvation if I'm not committed to it? And how do we know if we are on the right path or not? And how do we know if what we are doing is right and the way we are doing it is right? So to address this aspect, I want to explore another important development in contemporary Christian theological formation. And that is how important it is to look back all the way to the time of Jesus in order for us to find a path forward. Contemporary Christian theologians have called this movement rediscovering the historical Jesus. So instead of relying on the portrayal of Jesus through Christian traditions over the years, what these theologians are trying to do is to go back in time to understand the life and teachings of Jesus by critically investigating the Bible and other ancient texts within its historical and cultural context. A popular book that began this journey for me on this, the rediscovering the historical Jesus, is this book by Philip Yancey called The Jesus I Never Knew. And he explored the life and teachings of Jesus as a first century Jew in a time of Roman occupation and religious conflict. And all of this to offer fresh perspectives on the person of Jesus and his relevance today to contemporary society. And although this book is now 30 years old, it's still a great read if you are looking for something to start your journey. There's a lot that Philip Yancey unpacks, but one important insight that has come through for me and stays with me, and that builds on what we had just now talked about, is that of God sending Jesus into the world and we being sent by Jesus as the focus of Jesus' ministry is around this idea that Jesus' focus is on making disciples, which is what the title of today's sermon is. And so we see that during his time in ministry, Jesus was actually seen then as one of many different rabbis. Rabbis during that time would be traveling teachers who would travel the whole countryside teaching the Word of God, the Torah, at that time. And we know that Jesus' ministry attracted a big audience when he taught. But much like a lot of the other rabbis, his attention wasn't on the crowd. His attention was given to his students who had committed themselves not only to learn what he had taught, but to also become like him. In the Bible, these students are called disciples. And the very first time that the word disciples appears in Scripture is actually at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7. So like other rabbis, these disciples of Jesus were in close relationship with Jesus. They lived with him, they traveled with him. And like other rabbis, these disciples were charged to learn what Jesus was teaching. And in fact, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, and it's a very, very long sermon that's spread across three chapters of the Bible, the target audience for the sermon was not the crowds who had gathered. But in fact, the sermon was there to teach these few disciples. These disciples were also to watch what Jesus does and to put it into practice again and again and again so that they could be more like Jesus. I think that the modern-day equivalent of being a disciple is apprenticeship. Apprenticeship. So when Jesus says, follow me, it is an invitation to become his disciples, to become his apprentices. It's very, very different from this idea when we tell somebody to follow us today because we are inviting them to become a fan of the content that we put out on social media. So for the disciples listening to Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was revealing to them what God's kingdom is like. And so Jesus says that God's kingdom looks and operates completely differently from how the world operates or what the world values. So you need to learn this and you need to put it into practice as apprentices. You need to unlearn the world's way and learn God's way. But it's no use just learning about it. You need to watch me, watch how I put it into practice in the way I operate my ministry, how I live my life, and then you then go put it by practicing it in and applying it to the way you live and to the things that you do. And that's the goal of being a disciple. Only then, Jesus says that you are fulfilling God's mission. Only then are you breaking in God's kingdom. Only then are you restoring shalom. So when we look at what Jesus says here in John 14, verse 6, through this lens, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is not referring to himself as a destination or a gatekeeper into heaven, but an invitation to discipleship, to follow his journey to a way of living. So growth for these disciples is not knowing about how much, it's not about how much they know about the law. Otherwise, Jesus would have praised all of the other teachers of the law. But it's really about how much we have learned and how much we have put into practice, and therefore being aligned to the ways of Jesus. And for the first disciples, this was really tough. This was about 3 years of following Jesus 24/7 till his death and resurrection, and still not getting it right. And you know, we've highlighted all of the fumbles and follicles that the disciples had over many sermons. But you know what? Jesus never ever gives up on them, even when they get it completely wrong. So a key step to fulfill God's mission of restoring shalom is to look at Jesus' life and then to apply it to your life and my life today in the everyday. Sometimes I think that there is such a disconnect between first century Palestine and the world that we live in here in Singapore, wherever you're tuning in from. There's a huge difference in time, in geographies, and in cultures. And indeed, it is indeed a huge challenge to bridge this gap and to be able to learn how to interpret the ways of Jesus and what he taught back then and how we can apply it today in all of our different situations and contexts and you know, aspects of life, including like maybe even the workplace. But that's why we need to be in community with one another. We need to learn from each other. And that's why we need to continue to put ourselves in learning environments, like what we do here every Sunday at FCC, or having spiritual companions that we can do life together with and learn together. That's why we need to have an attitude of a learner and have a growth mindset so we can unlearn our culture, what our culture and traditions have taught us, and put on the mind of Jesus. 2 weeks ago, Myak talked about one huge challenge in how we follow Jesus in the political aspect of life. He spoke about how what our faith response demands in terms of how nations behave, either taking between nations or taking care of the people within their nation. So I invite you to go back and listen to that sermon. Very, very challenging. And another huge challenging aspect I can think of is how we engage God's mission in the arena of the workplace or the work that we get to do. Now, I do want to first acknowledge that everyone's context is different. But I have recently learned how to approach this. And there was a panel discussion at work which I had an opportunity to attend that discuss how to navigate the intersections of religion and faith at the workplace. One of the speakers on the panel was Rabbi Yohinda Sarna, and he is the chief rabbi at the Abrahamic Family House in Abu Dhabi. For those who aren't familiar with the Abrahamic Family House, it encompasses a mosque, a church, and a synagogue, as well as spaces for gathering and dialogue. And it welcomes people from all walks of life to practice faith and to teach each other. Yes, such a place actually exists on earth. And he presented during this panel a very practical framework of how everyone can engage their faith at the workplace. And I was very, very excited to lean in to listen. Or in fact, not just in the workplace, any space and any context where you're engaging with people that are different from you. And very interestingly, he presented 4 goals as well. It was very serendipitous. The first goal that he presented was go ask questions. He invited us to, in all different contexts, to listen with curiosity, to adopt a learner's disposition, to provoke thought, but at the same time to reflect and to invite reflection by asking questions. And then he also used a framework of how we can remember this easily. And he used this idea of seeing eye to eye with somebody and asking these questions. So that's the first one, go ask questions. The second principle that he taught us was go tell stories. Go tell stories. Your stories are your own lived experiences. They can't be taken away from you. Your stories bring people into your world and let people connect with the different elements in it. And a good way that he taught us to remember this is to connect heart to heart with our stories. The third aspect is go solve problems. Go solve problems. To partner with people who are different from us to find common challenges and solve them together, because that builds trust, relationship, and common ground. And a good way that he taught us to remember this is to stand shoulder to shoulder. And finally, the fourth principle is go eat food. I think we like this one, huh? Sharing a meal brings us around a common table, and at this table, we are all equals beyond our labels. And a good way to remember this that he teaches us is this idea of sitting face to face. So when I was sitting there and listening to this panel, hearing Rabbi Sana, it blew my mind, because what Rabbi Sana was teaching us from his perspective as a rabbi to a secular audience in the workplace was to prioritize the very four things which Jesus himself prioritized during his three-year ministry. Go ask questions. You know, in the Gospels, Jesus asked 307 questions during his ministry and actually only answered three directly. Go tell stories. Jesus often taught about the kingdom of God through parables. Go solve problems. Jesus performed 42 recorded miracles in the Bible. And stepping in and to solve problems where nobody else could or wanted to. And finally, go eat food. We have seen often in the Gospels how Jesus chooses to eat with those who are marginalized and outcast by society. And here, the rabbi was inviting us again in these proactive ways to do the same, to follow Jesus across faiths, into the workplace, giving us a practical way that we can be disciples of Jesus and bring about God's mission, even in places where traditionally the practice of faith would not enter into. So the call for discipleship for the Christian follower is an ongoing journey to be practiced for all moments and in every situation, for all aspects of life. And the Message translation of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 reminds us of this. It says, "So here is what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in even without thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you." But we're not called to stop there. For God's mission to succeed, it needs to go beyond the calling of disciples to the teaching of disciples to putting it in practice, but then charging them to go into all the world to similarly go make disciples. After the resurrection and before Jesus leaves his physical ministry on earth, he sends the first disciples out with what we now know today as the Great Commission or the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." And this is the same commission that has been given to the disciples then and given to all disciples through the ages and each and every person everywhere. So our collective call is to participate in the mission of God. Just as God sends Jesus and God's Spirit into the world, Jesus now sends us, his disciples, empowered by God's Spirit, to go and make disciples and go achieve the mission of God. And this charge is not just for the pastors. This charge is not just for the leaders of the church. This is for all of us who wants to align with God's mission. So go into the world. Go abide with me and bear fruit. Go be my disciple and go make disciples. As we close our time today, I would like to invite the worship team to come back. I want to offer us some time to reflect on what we have learned today and invite you to share your takeaways so that we can all learn together. So I have it up here on Menti, asking you the question, what is one way you want to change to live out the mission of God in your life? What is one way you want to change to live out the mission of God in your life? And I invite you to take some time to reflect. For some of us, it might begin by responding to God to say, yes, God, I am worthy. I have been appointed and called to join you on your mission. Yet for some of us, it might be about aligning with God in specific areas or specific patterns of our life that doesn't yet reflect Jesus' teaching and how Jesus would have responded in that situation. It could be simply being open to be in community with others and the willingness to do life together so that we can learn from one another. And yet for some of us, maybe it is about something very specific that God is calling you to in this season to go make disciples. Whether it is how you show up at work or how you show up with your family or the people that you interact with every day. Maybe it is to serve in a ministry or even restart a ministry. Maybe it's to go back and actually spend more time learning about the mission of God. So please go ahead and put one way that you want to change to be able to live out the mission of God in your life. See, a lot of responses come in, so let me read out some of your responses. Ask questions. Live with purpose. Don't just get caught in the daily grind. Ask questions, tell stories, solve problems together and eat together in this sequence to build strong connections. Take less MC at work. That's great for you if you feel that that's what you need to do to be able to follow Jesus. Some of us need to actually take MCs when we are sick and not infect people at work. Open the table to eat together. Change the way I love. Live with mindfulness. Start and end the day with quiet time to reflect. Realign my thoughts and perspective with Christ. Move from self-centeredness to being more empathic. Listen. Boldly give my testimony to those in need to hear it of how God has changed me. Facilitate opportunities or be part of God's efforts or people's efforts to allow these four goals. Don't easily demarcate ethnic groups and its stereotypes. Saying more yeses. And for some people, saying more no's is also about being more aligned to God, having the space for that. Limit my handphone use to just 90 minutes a day. To interact and serve those who I am uncomfortable with in the community. Absolutely. I've actually learned that the people we're most uncomfortable with, who are least like us, actually have the most to teach us. To take care of myself so I can serve more and better. To remember that God loves me even when I mess up. Just as how I am called for love, I'm called to love others who mess up. I work in an industry with a very toxic culture. I feel called to be a source of positivity in the midst of all the anger and blaming. Thank you so much for your responses. Those are really, really beautiful. I'd like to invite us to stand in body and in spirit right now to close our time together by joining the worship team with this song, Oceans.
You call me out found upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When the oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace.
Please be seated. Let us prepare for a time of Holy Communion. We gather each Sunday at this table, even though at this time we are not all physically together. The table of God's feast transcends time and space, because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria. You do not have to be a member of FCC. You do not have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. Good Shepherd, we take your care for granted. In the midst of your many blessings, we complain of not having enough. In the presence of danger, we fail to trust in your abiding love. When you set a table before us, we turn aside from you. Call us back into your fold and help us. Trust your caring presence and provision, that our actions may proclaim your truth.
Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. God forgives our failures and calls us back into the flock.
Loving God, our good shepherd, we are the sheep of your pasture. You know us by name.
We offer grateful thanks for your loving care. Open our hearts and minds to the guiding of your Spirit in our lives.
Lead us in right paths that we may serve you in truth and action. Amen. God prepares the table for us, offering us a feast of abundant love. Our cups overflow with the bounty of grace, for our Shepherd knows us as no one else can. Restoring our souls, healing our brokenness, nourishing us with bread and cup for the life of ministry. We remember how Jesus, our Shepherd, took bread and after giving thanks, broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." May I invite the stewards to come distribute the elements? For those joining us online, you may like to take this time to prepare your own elements and we can partake together.
Thank you. come to the table and feast with the shepherd. Let us partake of these communion elements together with thanksgiving. May I invite you to stand in body or in spirit. Together, God of love, you abide with us. Your loving presence stills us. You provide us with all that we need in abundance. Help us love one another in truth and action. Help us give of ourselves to those in need. Help us care for others the way our shepherd cares for us. May our lives reflect a wholehearted trust in our shepherd's everlasting love and care. Amen. Please be seated. You may pass the cups to the end of the aisles where the stewards will collect. Thank you.
Siblings and friends, once again, good morning to all, one and all. Right, welcome once again to our Free Community Church Sunday service, where free stands for first realize everyone's equal. All are welcome, all are children of God. Right, you, regardless of your nationality, your social and economic status, your gender identity, sexual orientation, whatever labels you put on yourself or the world puts on you, as we walk through this door, we recognize we being beloved children of God, of creation. So welcome to all new and old, all right, to our community. If you are new with us, joining us on site or online, we'd like to invite you to go to fcc.li/welcome or simply get a phone and if you're online, just take a phone and scan the QR code to fill up a newcomers form. Next week, next Sunday, after the service, we have a newcomers meeting. All right, it is not asking you to sign up for membership. Right, is for you to come and understand our community in a deeper, encounter our community in a deeper way, understand our mission, what we do, who are the people in our community, and help us to get to know you better. If you have any more, if you are interested but you have questions, please email to us at info@freecomchurch.org. Right, next slide. So one of the, before we go into worship, right, earlier, thank you to Gary for the wonderful message, right, about goal, right, what it means to be part of that co-mission of God. And also for Kenneth for leading us through communion. Right, if you are, just like earlier, right, if you are online with us, you are new with us, our channel, please consider giving us a like and subscribe. Right, it's not for vanity sake, right, to grow followers, but help us to get the message, the good news, right, out to those who need it, right, to understand that they are beloved of God. So before we move into continuing worshiping God through our offering, right, some admin matters on giving. Let me start with the bank transfer, internet bank transfer. Some of you have set up a standing order or repeat giving. Right, please take note that now the offering can be given into two buckets. One would be the general fund that goes down to the general operation of the church, month-on-month payment for salary, for maintenance. The other will be for the renovation fund, right? We are renewing the place after this many years. For those who have been following us for quite some time now, you know that some things are now breaking down and we have, coincidentally, I mean, by God's grace, we are planning for a renovation to renew the space this year. Later on, we'll have an announcement on, but some of you may have heard it last week, right? An announcement on Cloud Project. We'd like to invite everyone to have a stake in the community, to come together as a body of Christ, right? To reimagine the mission and how that takes form in the physical space. So we have a Cloud Project board, right? So you don't just give to this in a monetary way, but you are involved. Your life is being poured into the creation, the materializing of this community space. So we are looking at renovating somewhere mid of this year. So if you are able to front load the giving of for the renovation, please do so. If you are giving by credit card, you can go to freecomchurch.give.asia. And for the rest, you can scan a QR code to give the two buckets of fun. The stickers can, for those who are joining us on site, you can find the stickers stick at the back of the chairs. Those who are giving by check or cash, right, we will have the stewards to come forward later after prayer to receive and take up your offering. Now, let's invite I invite all of us, right, to join me in a very simple of prayer of thanksgiving and offering. Let's close our eyes and enter into a prayerful space. Take some time to have an encounter with God as we offer an offering, a time of thanksgiving. It's a time to enter into a covenantal relationship of love. Offering and giving is a fellowship of love. God, we come together with one another before you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this life we have. Thank you for the community we are placed in to encounter you through one another. We give thanks for the blessings we received in our lives, the resources that we have, the relationships that we have. We give thanks and praise you in the face of hardship and challenges that we might be facing, that some of us might be facing in our lives. God, through your grace and in your love, pour out your blessings unto each one of us. We lift our offerings into your hands. Transform them through the fire of your love so that it bring about peace and restoration, shalom in this world, according to your will, fulfilling your mission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May I invite the stewards to come forward to take up the offering? Next, we move on to announcements. So for the first announcement, we have the cloud project. This is tending to the house, all right? This is what it is. Almost ready as trending, right? For I didn't sleep, because earlier about like, follow me. That really sets me thinking about like, actually it makes a lot of sense, because oftentimes, right, whether it's on like social media channel, right, you either can like subscribe or you follow. And then I don't stop and say, hey, you know, actually like I'm placing all my attention on like really quite unimportant distractions. Where am I placing my attention on? All right. So right now, right, I'd like all of us to turn our attention to tending to the house. Okay? There's a mini like exhibition gallery by the side on the wall. We'd like to invite you to just read it. Okay, and there are some instructions over there that is quite hands-on. You can actually leave a message. You can write a word of encouragement, or you can place some ideas that you have for how this, be it the needs of the community, how you like the space look like, what do you think we should include, what do you think that we should do better on, we can do better on collectively. Leave your ideas on the wall, all right? For those who maybe want to participate, but you're not with us on site, may I suggest you can just simply also send in your ideas, right, or something that you want to put on the board to our email, info@freecomchurch.org. All right, and it's confidential. Only our church staff, right, the pastors and Daniel, will have access to it, and they can help to transfer the information, the feedback you have, onto the wall. So you can now make this space, right, be part input your like unique identity, your input right into this space. So really encourage all of us to take part. Any one of us, a raise of hands for those on site. How many of you have put in your feedback? We have a few. Okay, not a must. Don't need to, like, I know some are like socially shy, okay? But yeah, for those of you who are coming into other days, right, you can just come in during cell group days or other workshop days to fill this up and put it on the cloud project wall. Okay, next. We continue to show care for one another, right? This is one way you can show like love in action, going into the mission by caring for one another. So CARE is an acronym for counting on all, relying on everyone. So the aim of this is to foster a culture of care through praying for one another. Right? Oftentimes we may not institute make this visible, we're not sure how people who are in need of care and prayers, to whom can they turn to. So after the service, all right, we will have care volunteers, trained volunteers to pray for those who are seeking a prayer, someone to pray with or pray for. Okay, so they will be having their tag right on their shirt, right, standing at the front, and they will, whatever that is asked for and prayed with will be kept confidential. Okay, lunch khakis. If you are new, whether you are new or you have been asked for some time, you like to go for lunch and then, I find it hard to, I'm an introverted person and I don't have someone to go for lunch with, but I would like to, right? We have volunteers, all right, very welcoming volunteers on the church to have this ministry called the Lunch Khakis, to have lunch with you and then to fellowship together. So today's volunteer will be Gordon with the fan at the back. And Angela, right? Angela is today also serving as our visual presenter up in the hive. So both of them will be our lunch khakis guide, our khakis for this Sunday. So we have come to the month of celebrating April babies. May I invite Reverend Miak to the front to celebrate the birthday.
Thank you. So now we invite the April babies to come up. Polly look a bit sian. Oh no! I have to come up. My name right there. Yes. And are there others who are celebrating a birthday in April? So we have the names on this list are from our membership. And those of you who are not members, we do not have your information. So you're not there. But if you're celebrating a birthday in April, we will also like to invite you to come up and we'll pray for you. If you're not shy, if you're shy, you can sit there. We'll pray for you anyway. Anyone else? Okay. Only the two of you. And for those people who are celebrating a birthday in April, God, we give thanks for all these beautiful people you sent to be part of our community. We want to give thanks for the past year of growth, the past year of blessings, and the past year that you have abided in them. And we want to pray for the upcoming year. And we know that it would be a challenging year. Life is always not just a bed of roses, but it has thorns as well. But we pray that you'll be with them and continue to be with them and give them wisdom, love, and the strength as they encounter the various things in life, and they may go out and be your disciples and show your love, your justice out in the world to bring shalom to the world, to their relationships, to every corner of the earth that they go to. So we give them for them. We give thanks for them. We give thanks for your love that you've shown to us through them. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we will, I'll try to sing. sing with me la.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. You can fan out. Thank you. Pauline, you stay back. Okay, stay back. This Tuesday, Pauline's going to fly off to the US for 2 weeks. And the exciting thing is that she's going for her interview with the United Methodist Board of Ordained Ministry. So she, and if that's approved, then you'll be on track for ordination with them, right? So it is an exciting time. I personally have no doubt that she'll pass the interview. But we would like, or I would like to pray for her and invite you to join me to pray for her and to give thanks also for her dedication to the work, her answer to the call, really, really answering the invitation to live out the work and the commission of God. So you join me in praying. And you like, you know, reach out your hand. God, we give thanks for Pauline and her yes to you, her yes to your invitation into a life that might be, that, well, isn't a might, a life that is uncertain. The oceans that's deep that we sometimes are afraid to walk on. But God, just as Jesus called out to Peter, come, she has stepped out and walked on water. So as she goes into the U.S., we pray for her safety. We pray for wonderful encounters and learning and building of relationships with the United Methodist Church in the U.S. And we pray that they will see in her what we see in her, her gifts, her love, her passion, that she will be approved for ordination in the United Methodist Church. So God, we pray for her as a church, sending her out into the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And now, receive the benediction. May I invite you to rise in body or in spirit. So God, you have called us to make disciples, to go out, to do the commission you sent us to do, to bring shalom back into the world, a world so broken and so in need of love, compassion, and justice and peace. So may we be lit up with your spirit so that we become your disciples to make disciples of the world, that there will be healing and restoration now and always. So go in peace and love always. Amen. Thank you for joining us this Sunday. We look forward to seeing you next week.